There was an impact. There is an impact. There will be an impact. Past, present, future. The impact ecosystem has come a long way in 20 years. The needs of the market have pushed impact people to respond in ways we never could have predicted in 2004, when some dreamers came together to found EVPA, now Impact Europe. The needs of the market also pushed us to embrace this new, more inclusive name, one that acknowledges our history while looking forward to the next 20 years. That's what this episode is about. We've got a guest who is there at the beginning. That's our board member, Chris West. We've got Impact Europe's CEO, Roberta Basurgi. And finally, there's Eleni Theodorou, who's got big dreams to share for the next 20 years. Stay with us. Well, Roberta's no stranger to this podcast, but Chris, Eleni, could you please tell us a bit about your work?
Yeah, hello there. So my name's Chris West. I first started getting involved in what I then learned was called venture philanthropy back in 2000 when I was director of Shell Foundation and supporting what I then discovered were called social enterprises in emerging economies. And I mentioned the fact I didn't know what they were called. In fact, that was part of the reason I really joined EVPA was I think a number of us around the world at the same time, but without connecting with each other, were doing very, very similar things. But the terminology was missing. So my first experience of EVPA, actually soon after it was set up, was, forgive the pun, but rather like joining Alcoholics Anonymous, where there were a group of people all standing around saying, well, actually, I'm a venture philanthropist. And this sigh of relief that you're not the only one doing something different. Because at that time, the idea of you know, chasing a very explicit impact focus, but doing it in ways where you deployed skills support alongside appropriate funding was rather a new territory. And it was inspiring to meet leaders from across Europe doing similar things. So, you know, my heartfelt thanks at that time to EVPA being one of the few clubs I actually felt like being a member of, because it provided a huge opportunity to learn from peers and interact.
So my name is Eleni Theodorou. I'm the managing director of We Share Forward Foundation, a foundation based in the Netherlands, in The Hague. And well, we are guided by one main principle, which is pay it forward. Once you have been helped, help others. And what we do is we deploy revolving grants and revolving scholarships. So we fund early stage social entrepreneurs and the future impact makers. And once they have been successful, they can pay it forward on a voluntary basis to the next change maker, the next social entrepreneur. And in that way, we can keep on revolving and keep on supporting a bigger community of change makers. I always wanted to help people, especially because of my lived experience. I have a disability myself, and so I'm visually impaired. I have low vision due to childhood cancer, and I never wanted anybody to feel excluded. And I truly believe in the power of diverse voices, especially in our sector, but in general. Lived experiences and diverse experiences can really help in innovation.
What have we learned in 20 years? Let's start with Chris on this one.
Lessons learned is a nice way of saying scars on your back, because it hasn't been easy. I think from my experience, yeah, there is an absolute need in the market for approaches akin to venture philanthropy or catalytic capital or investing for impact, whatever we want to term it as, but this view of, you know, pursuing and supporting impactful organizations as they grow. But one mustn't underestimate the patience and flexibility one needs to provide in offering that support. This is not a game for fair weather friends. It is a game of focus and resilience and persistence. And I do find, you know, still a lot of funding is quite fickle and short term. So I think the need for, you know, long term horizons. I think equally, in our case, both in the UK and emerging economies, that the recognition that actually you can support organizations achieve significant levels of impact, but often alongside slightly more modest financial returns. I still think that capital preservation alongside impact is a pretty good outcome in this space. And that's not to underestimate the need for grant support as well as other types of investment. So, you know, being a bit more sanguine, I guess, was a lesson I learned as to how long and how successful you could be as a funder. And I guess the final lesson learned is you still, although in the early days there weren't many people doing this, I still find this sort of classic valley of death, or the struggle that startup organizations to really find the type of support they need to grow, is still a space that's largely empty. Most money, we still live in a binary world by and large, where most money is either given to grant, wants no financial return, but wants impact only, and a world with a lot of capital that's seeking some level of return on capital, with or without impact. But the bit in the middle, which is, I think, critical to market development and really reflects the sort of state of growth of most social enterprises in the majority of countries in the world, is the one where we really need to target support, which is a sort of blend of, you know, providing skills support and more appropriately structured capital. And of course, exactly what EVPA as of past and Impact Europe as of today is advocating to fill.
Roberta?
Okay, we as a network of practitioners, I think we have come a long way since 2004. We live in 2024 in a very different world, very different market from what was at the beginning of 2000s, when the thinking and the movement around positive impact, positive change, social impact was still a prerogative of philanthropists. And I think over the last 20 years, for me, the most exciting development has been this increased accountability for positive social and environmental impact that has come from the all stakeholder, all investors. So not just philanthropists, but funds and corporates. And this continuum of this diversity of stakeholder has also triggered a plethora of financial instrument mechanism that have completely amplified the opportunities for impact. So I think one, definitely the fact that this is no longer the business of a small set of philanthropists, but is everybody talks about impact, everybody worries about impact, and so is on the table. At the same time, I think there's been another big change, and that the policymakers have also stepped up and come into the space of impact, realizing that policymaking could really be an accelerator or an enabler, a facilitator. As always, when policy is involved, not always is straightforward, and there is always the constant debate of whether market leads or policymaker or regulator leads, but I think we need both. And so that's been another very exciting, because it's the first step to embed impact into society. And then I think what I've seen, another learning and change, is the capacity of the network has improved, has increased. So again, 20 years ago,
there was nothing. So there was no framework or infrastructure. Okay, what does it mean to invest for impact? How do we measure impact? How do we manage for impact? I think the whole network of practitioner investors has developed huge capacity. Is it still, have we done our job? But probably not yet. But we have to now shift gear and move to a different level of capacity building. So that would, I would say, think the involvement of more stakeholders, the policy coming, stepping up their game, and the capacity building, increased maturity in form of capacity, for me have been three key trends in the last 20 years.
If I may ask a follow-up on one of those strands, do you have a general call to action to policymakers today?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, they need to start working together. I mean, they need to break the silos of different policy briefs, looking at impact from different angles, because the market is confused, number one. So a unified effort to put impact at the center of any policy, and impact intended as positive social and environmental change. That would be my number one pledge. And two, really, and to keep it simple, to really try not to kill by procedure and requirement, because otherwise it backfires.
Looking ahead to the next 20 years, where do you want to see us?
For me, the dream is that really we get to a point of this shared accountability in the private, public, and philanthropic sector around the consequences of that any investment, business, any decision has on people and planet. And this cannot be somebody else's problem. Everyone that takes decision, business decision, investment decision, policy decision, need to put at the center the impact that this is going to have on people and planet. And that's a little bit my dream. Man, accountability for this, and money is a side product, but cannot be the driving of the decision.
And I'm wondering if you can give some examples of what that accountability might look like for different capital providers, not only within the impact space, but outside of it.
Well, I mean, a simple example is pension funds, right? I mean, in 20 years' time, we should no longer start discussing the fiduciary duty and how financial return needs to be always the paramount driver of decision for pension funds, because in the end, they are accountable for the future generation kind of sustainability and the planet sustainability. So I think that is accountability, put on the table that kind of impact that their investment decision will have on the future generation that they need to care for.
Eleni, what about your thoughts on the impact movement in 20 years?
Ideally, I would like for all capital to be impact capital. This is where we are going. We have amazing best practices across the spectrum and continuum of impact capital. And these best practices, I believe, will be the beacon and the example for all the different capital markets and asset classes to follow this example and understand the valuable contribution of impact portfolios. We have seen that impact portfolios perform well or even better than the traditional ones. And I'm looking forward for this movement to influence all the world. And I hope that the contributions we're doing right now with the Impact Europe ecosystem can be the example, the learnings and the best practices for this big transition in the future. I also see that more and more exchange between the impact capital change makers and the policy makers will take more place in the future. And I'm looking forward for us to lead this conversation from our sector, but also from the policymaker side to open the conversations with us. And finally, I see more and more diversity and inclusion being integrated in the impact capital sector, and I see more diverse leaders joining the play.
So, more diverse leaders, more policy interactions, and let's say a shot at inspiring the mainstream to make all capital impact capital.
Absolutely.
I want to go through each one of those aspects a little bit more. So let's start with the inspiration. How do we inspire mainstream people to, for lack of a better phrase, join this movement?
By first of all, by proving the performance of these impact portfolios, of these impact capital practices. And in my opinion, the strongest and the most powerful, I mean, there are many, but the strongest and the most powerful one is to show the power of collaboration. Two recent examples that I had the honor to be involved in is the Community of Practice in Health and the Youth Alliance. In the Community of Practice in Health, together with two other peers from the Impact Europe community, from Bayer Foundation and Boehringer Ingelheim, Making More Health, we decided to start a community of co-funding where we will try to stop the silos, start working together, co-investing, but also sharing knowledge on how to fund and support social entrepreneurs for access to healthcare in sub-Saharan Africa. And in the case of the Youth Alliance, we came together, of course, with Impact Europe, but also with colleagues from King Baudouin Foundation, YMCA, and Schneider Electric Foundation, as well as other colleagues. And we decided to stop working in silo, to bring together our resources and co-fund, share knowledge, and together engage in advocacy. This is key because what is the main goal here is to support the change makers in the best way possible, to combine our resources in the most efficient way and to cover the needs of the change makers, the social entrepreneurs, the projects we support. And in both cases where we have at least 22 impact funders in each group, we decided to actually bring together not only our diverse blended finance tools, but also our non-financial support, and to do that in the best way possible. And of course, as a collective, to continue with visibility, to continue with sharing our knowledge in key events, such as the annual summit from Impact Europe, but also with the Youth Alliance slowly to engage in more influencing policymaking and advocacy as a collective.
How about you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, look, being a Brit, I'll use the analogy of Charles Dickens. If you think about the ghost of venture philanthropy past, it was a pretty empty space. I think if we look at the ghost of impact venture philanthropy today, I mean, through the efforts of EVPA past or Impact Europe present, it's a more populated space with more inspiring people in it, more convening, more sharing of ways to tackle issues. If I think about the ghost of EVPA Impact Europe future, then for me, it is around growing the network significantly. There are many poor people interested in it, not just within mainland Europe, but within other countries alongside Europe. Yeah, I look at the Mediterranean area, I look at Eastern Europe. So how do we encourage and support other members to get into this space? Secondly, how do we inspire and then create connections between those organizations, since that's one of the main benefits of being part of a European organization is cross-fertilization of ideas between different people in different countries, whether it's tackling similar issues or because the structures of the organizations are similar. And equally, I think this rigid focus on impact. I mean, how do we stay aligned to the North Star, which is seeking to support those organizations that can sustainably and significantly deliver impact of a sort that benefits us all, whether that's social or environmental, and where essentially a lot of innovation is still needed because a lot of these business models are early stage. So, yeah, that for me is important. Underlying all this, though, I would say, and I say this from my experience in the UK, that I think we have another issue apart from thinking about impact in terms of the beneficiaries, is who are we helping to actually deliver these solutions? And I think historically in the commercial world, there is a risk that social investment is copying, that there is an inequity of access to support. So I would like to feel in the next 20 years, there can be a much more deliberate approach to inclusive and equitable access to skills and funding.
Any insights from you, Eleni?
Don't be afraid to collaborate, but also start with a pilot. Start small and start working on it. There is so much beauty in starting small with a partner and then building a bigger collaboration. And finally, I would like to see more colleagues with lived experiences in the ecosystem. As I said, I would love to see more disabled people running disability inclusion funding interventions. We need to see more people coming from, a migrant background running interventions on migration. We need to see more people, for example, working on deforestation of the Amazon. We want more indigenous people. So, having these diverse and lived experiences in your teams can bring intuition, empathy, and informed decision making.
And in this 20-year anniversary, EVPA has transitioned to become Impact Europe. I'm wondering if you can share some thoughts on what this name change means in the context of looking back and looking forward.
Yeah. Well, for me, this is an exciting pivotal moment to really walk the talk and accelerate the efforts as a community to create more impact, to create more positive change for people and planet. And why do I think that a name can be corralling those energies is because it puts the lens, it shifts the focus from the how, that was a venture philanthropy approach that was new 20 years ago and started moving more capital into the investing for impact space, to the what. Why are we doing this? Why are we do we want to mobilize more capital? And this impact, right? So, for me, the name represents this shift from the how to the what, and this broader lens on the ecosystem where, and this accountability that I spoke about, right? We need the accountability is not just for venture philanthropists that were pioneered 20 years ago and continue to do an amazing job, but it's really for all capital providers, for all stakeholders. We need to worry about people and planet for the next generation. So I'm hoping that the name provides a more inclusive label and a little bit of a North Star for our network.
How about you, Chris?
First of all, being brutally honest, I always struggled with the term venture philanthropy. If I went home to my family and said, I'm a venture philanthropist, no one would really know what I was talking about. And so whilst those of us in the club, resonated with the term, a lot of people outside it still found it difficult to understand. So the focus on Impact Europe for me is a much clearer definition and branding to what we are about, which is pursuing with all the resources at our availability, that's skill supports, networks and funding, a pursuit of a clear objective around impact. And obviously, the link to Europe is not just where we want to see the change take place, but also the identity and locality of those members, of which some actually work outside of Europe. So for me, there is a sort of clarity of focus on impact being the North Star, and a clarity of focus on the location in which we as a group can coalesce and share and inspire each other.
Thank you so much for this question, because I'm very, very excited for this new name that actually represents the new era of our sector. And this is very much the continuum of impact capital. We have developed a lot. We have really professionalized the different tools, instruments, even entities or, structures that we are using, and going from traditional grant making all the way to, more, traditional investment, and with all the steps in between where, investing for impact is, using. And I mean, our foundation is, now more active in venture philanthropy, but also structuring deals together with impact investing actors. For me, this is key, and it represents not only this wide spectrum of tools, opportunities, and of course, creativity.
I like this metaphor Chris brought up about Charles Dickens and A Christmas Carol. So here's a Dickens quote to end on. I will honor impact in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. The only thing I did was replace the word Christmas with impact, and I only did it once. Thanks for joining us for an episode of Impact, Past, Present, and Future. On Impact People. See you in the future.